This is reel 4 of 6 reels, interviewing Simon Sobolev of Central and Gig Harbor, Washington. Interview is in Central.
1931, you see, I come to Juneau there, of course, from that after I graduated from Oregon State. And I had that job obtained. They given to me at Alaska Juneau Gold Mining Company.
Did you have the job when you came to?
No, I didn't have any job. But I would come in and there was some kind of hard to get job. Employment agent, you know, three, four times I saw him. Said, well, no opening, he said. And some of the guys that tried to buy him, he was an insurance agent at the employment, my guy was there.
Uh-huh.
But I had a letter from my professor from Oregon State
to a recommendation
to that mm-hmm. Metzgard, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to use that unless I have to. You know, so that...
You wanted to get hired on your own merits.
By through the official routine, see?
Yeah.
But it was all postponed, and there's no opening. Because he says, so the insurance, he guys, he want to... He could put the people to work if you buy insurance from him, you see?
So...
Yeah, so I said, that's a heck of a... So I went to see Mr. Metzgard and showed him a letter. He said, well, Mr. Sobolev, he said, sorry, I can't put you right away to what I call engineering staff. But you go to work tomorrow in the mine. It's mm-hmm. a common miner, a common mucker. So,
mm-hmm.
so that's what I got the job.
So you got the job from the boss and not the employer.
No. So he was surprised when he, yes, you come to that, this man, I forgot his name anyway, but and he told that him to you put Simon Sobolev to work tomorrow there in the mine.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know that.
He didn't.
He was so look at me funny that day. You see, yeah. Not the employment agent.
But if the miners or the new employees would buy insurance from him, then
they got the job. I said, look here, I said, I have been in this country now for a long time. And I served Uncle Sam and so on in the army. And
Was he hiring foreigners?
Oh, yeah. Anybody who could get what they call his insurance to buy.
What kind of insurance was it he sold?
Oh, that's life insurance.
Life insurance.
Yeah. I said, I think I deserve the job. I said, you know, I'm a citizen of this country. Long time ago. Yeah. Metzgard, he right away. He...
So you, Metzgard, you have a letter that Metzgard wrote. Could I read that letter, or could I?
Yeah, here it was.
After you worked there for...
Yes. Letter of recommendation. Yeah, here it is.
But you had a letter of recommendation from the Oregon State School of Mines.
Yeah, School of Mines, yes.
And this is dated April 11th, 1931, yes. And this is when you left.
That's what when I left, you see.
Alaska Juneau Gold Mining Company, Juneau, Alaska. L.H. Metzgar, M-E-T-Z-G-A-R,
yeah.
General Superintendent.
Yeah.
And P.R. Bradley, Consulting Engineer.
Yeah, P.R. Bradley, very powerful, big man, Consulting Engineer from San Francisco.
I see.
He's who was a mining man, you see.
I'm going to just read this as he wrote it.
Yeah.
To whom it may concern, the bearer, Simon Sobolev, has worked in the Alaska Juneau mine for the past year. We have found him industrious, energetic, and reliable. He is leaving us of his own accord in order to obtain employment in placer mining operations to gain additional experience. Mr. Sobolev came to us very well recommended by J.H. Bachelor, B-A-T-C-H-E-L-L-E-R,
yeah.
Professor of Mining Engineering of the Oregon State Agricultural College, signed L.H. Metzgar, General Superintendent. That's a very nice letter of recommendation.
Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah. There are not many people came to Interior Alaska then with a letter like that.
Yeah. Well, I was a good miner, you see, and I do what they told to do.
So you started out just as a mucker?
Just as a mucker. It's common to everybody, no matter what school he come from. He may be at Stanford University, maybe... Howard, makes the difference. He obtained a job there. Why?
He started at the bottom.
Bottom, pick and shovel first.
Then after the pick and shovel, what did you do?
Well, he got to the nipping, they call help miner who drilled the ground.
Who helped drill the...
Yeah.
For then the blasting?
The blasting. And help him to get the dynamite stick prepared and so on, fuses and so on. Bring the steel and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a help. And so many things that you can use. Sometimes that I train you to... Around them in the locomotive engine there, the electric power under the ground.
Electric power?
Ooh, it's like a city was there. The main tunnel, 40 feet wide, and you get assembly. It's a big mine. Hard to describe that.
Yeah.
And they have what they call shoot, war shoot, that come from the war,
mm-hmm.
upper level. and the main level, you see. And they have, maybe several of them shoot their gold, that shoot, that all goes to those places,
yeah.
You see. And the 3-4 cars come in, and they flow the 12-ton cars. And the guy with an air compressor, just 12-ton, move along.
Move another one would move up.
And the gold has fall outfit like that, then assembly 40 cars, train, in the main level. Just like at a station in the railroad. Then they put it, they go to the mill.
So they take the, they assemble 40 cars and then they take them out by engine? Or
the engine, locomotive engine, see? It's not the electric power.
Electric power.
Oh yeah, electric power, always. No, nothing on the ground. Electric power, you see?
Yeah.
You see, that's, then
and then they take these 40 cars outside the mine.
That's
to
right.
The mill.
The mill, yeah. And they, on the mill, dump in the big beam over there, you see?
Uh-huh.
Big beam. And for two cars, go in cylindrical shape over there by the top of that mill. And that, if you let the car come in, cylindrical shape, that station there by the, when they dump it out.
Mm-hmm.
And they get rims inside the cylindrical shape. Two cars go inside, see? And all men a electric switch, pull the switch, they just lie down.
They drive two cars in this big cylinder.
Yeah, the cylinder, big
and
one.
Then they just flip the cylinder.
Flip it, you see?
Dump the ore out.
They're going into the big beam down.
I see. And then they would flip it back and push the cars out.
Two cars, you see, like that.
I see.
And this mill is produced 10,000 ton a day. The largest output in the cave-in system, dangerous system. When the one blast, we had a blast one time, some blast once, maybe a month. When they do blasting, we had 500,000 tons of rocks caving down, ore. See?
Wow.
And that, of course, ore was between $1 a ton, 90 cents a ton, but they had a large amount, lots of it. It's not a vein, it's just a scattered.
Yeah.
So they got to what they call the entire rocks to crush it, and big rocks, they go to the conveyor belt and go to the tailings there. Yeah,
and what was the, how did they recover the gold?
Well, they get, when they got to the crusher, they crush it, is that big crusher, dropper, crusher. And after the crusher, go to the gyratory mill, go around. Gyratory. Mill.
Gyratory.
Well, gyration, see? It's one also go around, it's like a grind it down below, you see? And after that, go to the what go ball mill.
The ball mill.
Ball mill, each individual equipped electrical power. Each, maybe several ball mill, maybe all the dozens there. The man standing by that ball mill. The big layout there.
Mm-hmm.
Then the pound that, you see? Pound the slope. Very fine.
They pound it down to very fine grade.
Then go by the wooden trough, going to the down the three-story that mill, not one. They go from the down below, they go float, as you said, that sinks, and go to on concentration table. They call wiffle table. Wiffle table, they call that name of that table.
Was it Riffle, R-I-F-F?
Wiffle, that's the name of that table that manufactured by Wiffle.
Oh, I see, that's a trade
but
name.
But it's a big table, just I tell you now, how. Here's a big table like that. It's maybe hundreds of them, see? That like that. This Wiffle table is a little riffle on the end of the table, you see? And shaking like that. Forward. Backward, you see, all one like that, you see.
So it'll settle out the heavier gold.
Yeah, well, that's right. Several material, gold, lead, and so on, the stuff recovers there, see.
I see.
And then all the tailings will go very fine into this down the tailing, just fine, very fine the stuff. Just like it would be coarse mill some places, nothing here, tailing, you see. Well, that's concentrated, goes into the, in the, and the pack, and goes to that perhaps will be, and maybe Tacoma smelter, whatever it is. Gold recovered there, of course. You don't need to smell that, you see.
Oh, I see. But then they recovered the actual gold in
Tacoma.
Oh, yeah,
Tacoma. Right there. Right in the journals there, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Covered. But, some left maybe heavy minerals, just like lead. Sometimes there may be other minerals that they concentrate. They also could be used, so they give money for that. At the Tacoma smelter.
The Tacoma smelter.
Yeah.
But the gold was actually recovered in Juneau.
Right there, they say, yeah.
Well, did they use mercury.
Oh yes, yeah, yeah.
To recover.
Yeah. Oh yes, yes, mercury. Yes. Mm-hmm. You have seen? Did you see mercury sometime?
I've seen him. I saw one ball mill in operation one time, but I didn't see the whole operation.
You don't know the mercury. I guess I showed it to mercury if you wanted to take a look at the mercury.
I've seen mercury.
Yeah. I got used. So that way, very good operation. That's a 10,000 tons mill.
Do you know when the AJ mine closed down?
I don't know. When I visited, when I left, was there, they worked a few more years, you see. But I think they closed down on account of the because labor is in that, you see, and
the cost of labor,
cost labor you mm-hmm. see, and so that we did. But they have it, when I was there, they sunk the shaft it, from the main level to the down, you see, you hear, it was, they call it winds, W-I-N-Z-E, winds, that when you sink the hole in the mine, inside the mine, they don't call it shaft anymore, it's called winds.
Winds?
Yeah, you see, the mining term, you see. So anyhow, so they closed down. It's a tremendous operation, you see, and like I said, sometimes one successful blast, they came for a quarter of a million tons of rocks in one
yeah.
blast. When it takes, when blasted, Juno will know, like earthquake.
Juno would know.
All the table, the place like that,
yeah.
in restaurants, so on like that, shaking everything, you see.
Well, you worked at the AJ mine then for 1 year.
1 year, and what they call that? We have 700 miners there. We don't speak when check to get the check. We go to the bank open for us for miners.
Yes.
That time was what you want: gold mine money or paper money.
Yeah, it's 700 miners at that time.
700 miners at least.
So they that was
they manufacture everything. They build own what they call cars. And whatever manufacturers themselves, right on the, in the in Juneau, right close to mine, the air, big air compressor and everything else, all this machinery, they have it right there. See,
mm-hmm.
So they don't buy very much.
So how much did you talk? I think you said yesterday when we were talking that you got paid $4 an hour.
No,
and then
five,
a day.
$5
a day.
$5 a day. You see,
mm-hmm.
And the guy who worked in more dangerous places like I later on. A bulldozer, that's of course, I don't want to spend that too much. He makes $6 a day.
$6.
A bulldozer king, he is a $7 a day. All the most Russians that worked in that time. Bulldozer king, he was an extra, he was a Russian captain, you know, for Russian army, Tsar army. You see, he got to go to a place that's very dangerous, they said. Maybe the big rock hanging down, you see. It's like that. This is the cone, they call that cone. You see?
Yes.
Or the upper level, the rock coming in that cone, shaped like that.
Yeah.
And all opening like that here, see.
Yeah.
Rock come in. And then the grizzly down below, see? All that, you see? And they unplugged that, see? So he got the machine and drilled it and see, blast that rock. And down they go.
That is a dangerous job.
Grizzly is a big iron bar, beams, you see, 24 inches apart.
Mm-hmm.
A man who take care of that, you see, he got to watch that rock coming, you see? Sometimes you can't knock him down to the super grizzly because it's a big space, see? And that's where the men get killed. So if you go down to the grizzly, they lay down, they shoot down below. Before you get to the main level of rocks, or it got like that.
I see.
So that when rock come down, they don't, it's too heavy, just
yeah.
slow down, the acceleration, the turn
so
down.
Yeah, so it's not a straight shoot,
it goes down in steps. This on the top, the grizzly here.
So a man, if he fell through the grizzly, he didn't have a chance.
No, just taking out the shirt and the bones are left, that's all.
Shirt and bones?
That's all, it's like close.
Yeah.
Nothing left.
Were there many accidents?
Every year, 10, 12 men get killed.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you ever see any, witness any deaths or any accidents?
Well, out of the shooter, so it is, yes, yeah.
10 or 12, that's a lot.
Well, luckily, when I drive the, it's very dangerous, it's extremely dangerous
yeah.
mine. Of course, when I know the other guy, contractor, you see, when you go down, seeing the shaft down, if you see the up, there's two level, one level, two level. We drive the race. From one level to another level,
mm-hmm.
up inclined like that.
Yeah.
With a stopper, they call that special machine to drive that race. We had maybe for 16 holes and drive it, and then the blasters, you go to blast it out.
Blast it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got ladder. When you load it up and start to light it, you better be sure to light right. Then you go down ladder before you start to blast. Some of the It was a smart aleck, they didn't take the time to do that and to get it right. And before they got to the bottom, they already got killed. Start to blast the rock, come down, kill them, see? Well, we had it, of course. Before we got...
Not very smart.
They're not very smart. We had that, you see, like before I light, you see, they have huge fuses. One maybe longest, another one is short, and so on and so forth. You light sequences, what hole you want to blast. When you did blast, you got the ladder ready. You machine that laid down the goat too, you see? And maybe you put in the wall someplace. When you light it, then we go down later. And you'll be sure that... And Manya's camp, I think I have to know that here. Manya's camp, he all the time, a carbide lamp we have.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And they blast continually, never stop blasting in Reno there. Because the chamber that work day and night, 24 hours all the time. Three shifts, you see.
And there were about 700 men, you
yeah,
said.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, that's total, but it's so that...
Total, they worked three shifts then?
Three shifts, yeah.
Around the clock?
Yeah, around 8 hours.
Well, when you were working for AJ Mine, did you live in Juneau, or did you live in a dormitory? Or?
I lived in Juneau for a while, then I went to that dormitory there, bunkhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very nice place, it's very reasonable. The food is good, the room is good, two men in the room, and the whole accommodation much better than some private outfit in Juneau there.
Yes.
Because close the camp over there too, and furthermore they have a, what they call special place to take a bath and wash your clothes and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How was the food?
Well, food good. Some of the guys I know those evolutionary guy, and I know that one Russian guy, and I know that he don't know what the Russian that they, he's Polish guy, he by me. There's eggs, all you want. Boiled eggs and fried eggs and the all kind of cereals and bacon and anything you want. Breakfast, all kind of stuff.
Sourdough pancakes?
Yeah, okay, anything you want. And he complained that. I said, what you complain? He said, now look here, the milk and everything you want. How much do you have in one in Russia? Do we have like that in Russia? No, I said, you don't. As you said, you ought to be thankful that you get all what you eat here. And dinner time, oh boy, all kind of stuff to eat.
Well, when you were growing up in your village and when you were a little boy, what did you have for breakfast? You were a peasant, from a peasant family.
Well, maybe a barley mush.
Barley mush.
No, barley, the barley, real good barley. I can't find in this kind of barley I used to was there. I got barley, but already processed and manufactured.
And it would be cooked like,
cooked like mush.
And then would you use cow's milk on it?
Cow milk, of course, fresh butter. We don't have anything.
You made your own butter.
Well, yeah, my own butter. My mother, but it's a churned.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But that would be your breakfast almost every day.
Sometimes they get hotcakes, you see. Oatmeal hotcakes, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good size, this way you see it, like that.
Well, that to go back to the AJ mine, you ate in the mess hall. Then.
Mess hall, yeah. Good
so far, did you pack a lunch for your lunch?
I took a lunch pail.
And
see.
For dinner, what kind of food did they serve you for dinner?
Oh, that I don't know. The first, lots of food. Lots of good food. Meat and beans and
vegetables.
All kind of vegetables. You see, very good, excellent. It's just better than restaurant. Yeah. And plenty, because they know Manya is good. He works really good. And she goes, you know, they're already waiting that the entrance, tunnel entrance. That you never been in Juneau?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the big that the tunnel that goes in the hill. Or that she goes, they come in there to pick up from Manya's lunch, you know, some Manya to feed me. Lunch buckets, you see. Well, I give him a sandwich. She goes.
To who? Oh, the seagulls.
They land pretty fast.
To the seagulls?
Yes.
You mean they had so much lunch they didn't eat it all?
Well, yes, of course. Well, some of the guys will give it to them. He got those, he's not already. Yeah. He's just waiting for that.
Yeah.
Quite a few. Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Yes.
They learn fast, those
seagulls. They learn fast, you see.
Yeah.
So that's very, very, you know, the feed group, the AG company was... once maybe didn't pay much, but they pay $5 a day and $6 and $7 a day. Uh-huh. Contractor, they made pretty fair money.
Now, when you were in Juneau that year, that was
1931. 1931.
And the governor of Alaska then was Governor Parker.
George Parker, yes.
Mm-hmm. And did they have that white governor's house at that time?
Yes, I was in his house too, one time. How the level I was there? That's why I went to
Were you an invited guest?
No, I was invited, but I was... Well, a Russian guy, he was very prominent in Juneau there. The quite a few Russians, white Russians, you know, but a prominent guy. Father Koshevarov was there, a very prominent man.
Father
Koshevarov.
Koshevarov.
Yeah, he was very prominent in the man.
In the, yeah.
And he went to that the house over there. I went to see him.
The governor's mansion.
On Christmas. That's his duty to that priest, Russian priest, got a duty to everybody to serve with just prayer a little bit at Christmas time. That was Orthodox Church pretty strong at that time, you know, you see.
The Russian Orthodox Church.
Oh yeah,
Church.
Very strong. Lots of Indians, modern one too, and they got pretty fair money there too, you see.
Yeah.
Support that time, you see. So Koshevarov, he's very, very famous man, so I went to that time. And I knew the park because I met him several times on the streets, say hello to him, I didn't shake hands, but you see.
Did he know your name?
Well, I don't know if he knows or not, but he was invited to that, what they call, a Russian man, I forgot his name now. He was working in mine,
mm-hmm.
and he's quite a prominent man. He was a Russian colonel, Russian army. Sorry,
I see.
But he's working in mine.
How did he get to Juneau? Was he the same as you?
Same
he was
as myself, maybe different way, but he
came. A refugee from the Bolsheviks.
Right. Yeah, and then he got a wife later on, come from a very beautiful woman, very prominent woman in Juneau. She's a very nice woman, looking at her, one of the best women in Juneau, looking at him mm-hmm. walk on the street. So the governor, Parker, he was invited to the home. See. Father Koshevarov was there, and the guy was there, too, my classmate was there, Klitz, his name, you see, mm-hmm. and so on. You see. So we had a good time over there from the time. I know. And Juneau was quite active at that time. It was a bunch of Russians there. Well, they are red and white, but they what the differences was that Juneau was there. So the old time was coming. They didn't know the conditions in Russia, what they possibly did, and what they do, and they don't want to complain. When I didn't know what to say, I stayed for a while in Juneau there, you see, that you know, they met Russian, I'm looking for the hotel to stay. And the guy, Russian, oh, so you come to our place. He said, we give you some place to stay. Well, how do you have your place? Well, I said, how much? We said, we divide it up what we buy.
It's
old time, you know.
Yeah.
Well, so I went out. Went out, and they got the American cook, that's a woman. And she was so great later on to see me over there that eating. And I had room with that older guy, and of course I brought with me my photographs, uniform, U.S. Army, and my college days and so on like that, the books and so on. And I went to breakfast to eat. There's a kitchen, there's a Lenin picture. Lenin. They are what they call cell, communist cell in Juneau was there.
Communist cell in Juneau?
Yeah, world all the time. And the guy who was, what they call secretary of the communist cell, he's the one that I sneak and want to take a look at his, what he's writing. He was a secretary of that cell.
What was his name?
I forgot his name. I knew it, but I forgot his name, you see.
But they invited you to come and live with them.
Yeah, live with them, you see. Well, but it comes, so divided up. I don't know, so I want to know how much you have to pay. Never mind what how divide it up. But anyway, just wait. Then this guy, he got the names over there, you see. And he got all for Fairbanks and other part of Alaska to report to him the activities, what they're doing. You see,
you mean the Russian refugees in Alaska?
No, the Americans too. Don't work some of them. Belong to the Communist Party, you see.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Back in 1930?
1932, yeah. Bolsheviks, you see.
And he had people from all over Alaska reporting to him.
Reporting to him. He's one of those secretaries there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all right, now. Then he reported to Seattle, and I met some Seattle, like conspicuous. He came to Fairbanks now and then. I didn't want to talk to him, that he go back and forth. Agent, he's a communist agent. I met him in Fairbanks several times, and I saw him in Seattle several times.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you think that still goes on?
Huh?
Do you think that still is happening?
Oh, they have it all the time. Don't you know that? You better wake up, Mr. Dalton. You know, they contestify you all the time. They want to ground you down.
Do they have some active communists in Fairbanks that you know about?
Oh, yeah, the Communist Party have in Fairbanks. They got assembly there when Russian flyers 1940 was coming there. They all got together. I know the place I went to see.
Yeah.
A guy who was my friend, very good one, Jimmy Zucker. He's now Douglas in Portland.
He's in Portland?
Yeah. But I think he's dead now. because I knew him well. He was very good friend. He's Russian, one of them guy.
Yeah.
And not white Russian, but he's one of the Caucasian, also team. Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, you don't know that.
Well, I knew that there was this existed to a certain extent. I just wonder how active they are now.
Well, maybe they slow down, but I reported them to FBI, all of the guys.
In Paris. Good for you.
Every one of them
good
reported.
For you.
Yeah. So they suspected me to the reporter. And one guy, you know, that guy, he's a Swedish guy, I guess, or whether he was nationalized or not, he stopped in the bridge one time. Said, "You are Russian." "Yes, what's the matter now? Is there something wrong?" Said, "We know you do." "Well, that's just too bad." Yeah. And he tried to intimidate you. "Don't be," said, "tell me." I said, "I more know all about you guys, never mind." See? And the big ray, that you remember, big ray that in Fairbanks?
Big ray.
One of his guys, he belonged to that party, see, the Communist Party. And I reported him too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He worked for Big Ray.
Well, he's a Big Ray brother, whatever. I don't see him anymore, but I just happened to that.
Yeah.
I report lots of them. That way.
Yeah, that's good that you do that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you value your U.S. citizenship so highly.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah.
Well, most of these Russians then working in the mine there, in AJ Mine in Juneau, were they naturalized or?
No, they were all naturalized. Who give me paper? They don't know, can't either write nothing, Russian or English. Ignoranos, son of a gun, good for nothing.
So they're what nice. Happened to them? Did they stay in the United States?
They stay in the United States right now. Sometimes, look here, sometimes I get parade in that Fairbanks, flag and so on. And they caution a bit to heck that American flags and parade when they're loud in the streets. I heard them, I thought, "You better behave before I punch you in the nose." Yeah.
And they're not. Some of them are not citizens yet.
Well, they can read and write nothing. Russian and English, nothing. Some of them become citizens, all right, pretty good, but most of them don't. Yeah.
Yeah. How about this Harry Cardinoff? Do you know Harry Cardinoff in Fairbanks? He's originally from Russia.
I heard about his name, but I don't know. Maybe I want to see him. I guess he's. I guess he's in Juneau one time too, in Cardinoff.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. He was a bootlegger in Juneau.
Yeah. Yeah, I know him. He's. I don't know how old Harry is now, but he has two sons.
Yeah.
One is a gambler.
Yeah, well, he has bootleg in the general.
I
bought some, what they call, bootleg whiskey.
From Harry?
Yeah.
Harry has one son who's a gambler in Fairbanks.
If you
and
mention,
another son who is a good family man, has a family, and he works hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I see someone coming by your house. Talking about the communists and we'll proceed
with the communists now, huh?
Yeah. Now you were talking about the communists in there, but let's go. When you came to Fairbanks and you came up here to, you were looking for a job in placer mining.
Yeah, well, placer mining. But I went to that work for that. It was Eielson Air Building at the
Eielson Air Force Base.
No, Eielson.
Eielson building.
Building at the University of Alaska.
Oh, I see.
It was under the construction at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw Dr. Bonneau before I was going to press. He was very nice to me. Said, "You, Simon, you want to work this summer at the university? We get lots of construction going on." So I said, "That's fine, okay." So I got work half of the summer there because Ivas Cardon was working just like myself.
Yes.
Snodgrass was working over there. Many other ones mm-hmm. that boys are working for the school. And then, so that's the one that I told you that invited me here. And so we get that, you see, and then the whole time I enrolled as a student, postgraduate student, you see, in the university there.
At the university.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I stay, of course, all winter there.
Did you live on the campus? Did they have a dormitory
there? Oh, you get dormitory, but I didn't live in dormitory, no. I went in downtown, I live in Fairbanks, close to railroad station there. And the railroad agent was Faye, girl Faye, she is now that cripple up, used to go to school over there too. Lounsbury, her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Lounsbury?
Lounsbury, yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Well, that's the one that he married. Her father was agent at the railroad, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a cabin not too far from the railroad station. That guy was a Frenchman, he was my partner. And we paid $7 at that time, rent.
$7 a month?
$7 a month. Two rooms. Mm-hmm. And my partner, Feldman, we make a new wine. Not for sale, but for ourselves.
What kind of wine did you make?
Well, raisin. Raisin, you see, and sugar. Uh-huh. And he would make the batch, and he put the yeast, whatever it is, something, and ferment it.
Mm-hmm.
Big barrel, you see.
Yeah.
He was a good winemaker. Then he, when they get ready, he go out and squeeze it into the jar, big jars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was his name?
Oh, Lamat. Henry Lamat was his name.
Henry Lamat?
Yeah, Lamat. He's dead now. Boy.
Yeah. Was he a student at the university?
Well, no, he was working for a fee company. He's a very good welder, very good mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be Columbia to the South America. He spoke Spanish good, you see.
Uh-huh.
So when I took Spanish, he helped me to study Spanish today too, you see.
He studied Spanish at
the university? Yeah, at the university, yeah. What's his name? I forgot the name. That Spanish teacher. She died now.
Mm-hmm.
She was a sweetheart of that Bell. He was teaching mathematics, that instructor in mathematics, Bell. Young man, you see.
Bill Cashin?
No, other one.
He was a student then. Yeah, he taught, Bill Cashin taught mathematics later.
Yeah, but the other guy that was
also
mathematics instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And we get sometimes, awful time, that guy that who, good student, I couldn't remember the name, Helen Sweetheart, when on the Slaterville, the cabin over there, still there yet, boy, you had was there, moonshine, that guy, they're making moonshine there, you see. And college students, myself, and some of the instructors come. There's one of Bill over there, too, that...
mathematics
instructor. Yeah,
That was during Prohibition days.
Prohibition, yes. We got over there.
But you had plenty of moonshine.
Plenty of moonshine. They make metals, those guys made over there. And the guy followed all the day in the picture, doesn't know. Quite a few of college guys, you know. And that guy instructor that... sweetheart that of that Spanish teacher. I forgot the name. I can't remember the name. You know. Well, anyhow, that's probably what they warned me. Said, Simon, be careful because that instructor of mathematics, she sees her sweetheart. Oh, well, that's all right. I said, it's a difference.